So listen, what I'm gonna do now, guys, is I'm gonna put the call on mute, which means that you can hear, but you won't be able to talk until Danae's done her thing. And so thank you very much for joining us on the live Alchemy call, our number 4. And our guest today is Danae Harding. Now, before I get into that, let me just say this, that I'm going to put the call on mute, but after I bring the call on unmute, where everyone else can be heard, I'd like you to mute your phone by hitting *6. And then that way, when you want to talk, hit *7, and it'll unmute your phone. Ha! That could ask a question for anyone else to actually hear you. So our guest today is quite an extraordinary woman. I'm going to ask Danae to talk for about half an hour or so, and about her extraordinary stuff. And then we'll take questions, and we'll take a couple of questions from the free room first, and then we'll take questions from the benefactors room. And so, let me just say that I was told, I'll do this, I'll just put the call on, I've got my command here, where is it, mute all participants, that's it, here it is. It says all callers are muted and may unmute themselves. Ah, that's cool. So you can unmute yourself. That's excellent. So I was told about Danae Harding by Barry Carter, who says you have to have Danae as a conference call guest. And you have to talk to her. So I went, I'll get around to it. So anyway, when I finally called Danae, we raved for about 2 hours, and finally one of us had to get off the call, one of us had to go to bed, I can't remember which one. It's just, 2 hours disappeared in about 30 seconds, and which is what will happen today, because Danae lives a somewhat non-ordinary existence, which I'll get as we go into. But y'all think you'll pick this up? And Danae, what I'm going to have to do is to get you to unmute your phone by hitting *7. So when you talk, someone can even hear you. Otherwise, no one will be able to hear you.
I'm unmuted.
So can you do?
Okay. Can you hear me now?
I can.
Okay, good. Here I am.
So welcome, darling. Welcome to our number 4 live alchemy conference call. You're the very first woman alchemist we've had so far, and why don't you just launch in with the kind of effect you're getting with what you do?
Okay, I can do that. Okay. Dennis has asked me to start off with the kind of results that I get with the products and the things that I make. When I first started this, we had no idea what this stuff would do. We were not looking for a product that would make anything happen to the human body. What we were looking for was new free energy. And it was just totally a fluke, an accident, that we even discovered that what we do actually had an effect on the body. And that's when we started studying about alchemy. This was about 5 years ago. And the first person that took it, he had diabetes, and it was during an experiment to make free energy. This machine could not; it would blow out every single resistor, no matter how big the resistors were. And we were using resistors off of telephone poles, and it would just blow right through them. And so, finally, this man, my partner, he picked up a bottle of distilled water and he poured it into a thick glass, and he said, "Glass and distilled water, the best resistor in the world," and he sticks the whole thing into the machine. Well, at the end of the day, he pulls the glass out, He says, it's hot. He was sweeping the floor, so he just pulled it out and started to drink the water, and he got a shock. Well, he thought that was kind of weird, but figured it was static electricity, set the bottle, the glass down, and then he came back at the end of the, you know, when he was finished sleeping, and he drank the rest of it, and he got another shock. Well, that night when he tested his blood sugar, it went from 360 to 240. The next day, he did the same experiments again and had the same thing happen when he would drink the water. He'd get shocked again. And his blood sugar was down to 120 that night. That's when he realized that there had to be something strange that was happening in the machine that was changing the water. Well, he had a friend come over who had fallen off of a telephone scaffold because he's a lineman. He had landed on his feet, but it compressed all the discs in his back, and they just popped. He was crippled. He couldn't stand up anymore. He bent over in much pain all the time. So Calvin took him out to the shop and said, here, have a glass of water. And he gave him a glass of this shocking water, thinking it would distract him, and, you know, the shock was kind of funny. And before the man left, he could straighten up his back. He said, man, I can straighten this thing up. I haven't been able to do that in months. He came back the next day with a gallon jug, and he said, fill her up. So they took glasses of water through the machine, and then they would pour it into the gallon jug, and he took that water home. It took him 3 gallons of water to completely regenerate his back. He went for another MRI, and they said, your back has regenerated 36% since the last time you were here. Before he stopped drinking the water, he was working as a lineman again. He could do everything. He could stand up straight. Everything was fine. We gave it to an old lady whose hands were all gnarled and bent with arthritis, and she could not straighten out her fingers, nor could she use her crochet hooks anymore. Within a few months of drinking the water, her fingers were completely straight. All the arthritis was gone, and she crocheted a beautiful afghan to say thank you. We had this lady over in Salt Lake. Her name's Carol. She was diagnosed with MS about 10 years ago, and she had reached the point when we met her where she could not pick her feet up off the floor. She could not feel any part of her body. Everything was just like numb everywhere. She had to live now on the ground floor of her house, which she had moved out of her upstairs bedroom, and she couldn't drive. She couldn't go anywhere. She was pretty much just very, very limited. She started drinking the water, and the first call that we got from her on it, she said, it was so terrifying. She says, I couldn't believe it. I woke up in the middle of the night, and I thought I had spiders crawling on me. She said, what I realized after a few moments, though, of hitting my face, and that was that I could feel my hair touching my face again. So as she drank the water, it took 6 months for her, and I can tell you exactly how much it cost her. It cost her $510. It took her 6 months of drinking the water before her doctor said, we don't understand what you did, Carol, but you don't have MS. It's not in remission. You just don't have MS. It has gone on from there. When I came home one time to visit, I lived in Utah for a year and 6 months while I worked with this gentleman who had recreated the machine from an apparatus that a man had taught him when he was 8 years old. And when I came home one time, I met a gentleman at my hardware store who had one arm that was little and tiny and shriveled, and his hand was atrophied into a claw, car accident many years before, and the nerve in his elbow was severed. He said he was saving his money so that he could get an operation, $35,000 operation, in hopes that they could, join the nerve back together. He said there's a 35 to 40% chance that it might work. He said, and then it'll take me a year and a half of therapy before I can open my hand. He goes, but it's worth it to have my hand back. So I said, would you like to try a miracle? And he said, sure, I'll try anything. So I went out and got him a bottle of water. And because I ordered lots of lumber from that store, he had my address on file. So he took the water, and I left for Utah. And a week later, he came back and saw my daughter. He drove up to the house and knocked on the door, and he said, can I get another bottle of that water your mom gave me? And so my daughter said, sure, and she went and got it. And he said, look, and he held out his hand, and he opened his hand with his other hand and pulled it straight out flat, and then he was able to close it by himself. After the second bottle, he could open his hand without using the other hand, And on the after the third bottle, he walked up to me when I came back from Utah. He walked up to me and shook my hand with his hand, and he said, "Thank you. You gave me my life back." So I have seen it do amazing things. I had a gentleman with skin cancer on his eyelids. They were going to remove the eyelids and do a create new flaps. And he used the water for 10 days before the operation. And when he went in for the operation, they abraded one eyelid slightly. Have to remove either eyelid. Is everything okay, Dennis? Are you there? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I just heard another beep. So we've seen some remarkable things. I had an oncologist, a doctor, who specializes in cancer. He had had the cancer burned off of his back twice, and he took this water and he rubbed it on the cancer spots twice. And on the third day, he said it just kind of flaked off on the sheets. After we got up in the morning, he could just see this flaky stuff on the sheets. And his wife said, "Oh my gosh, there's just pink skin." His back healed completely without any trace of cancer. So we've had some remarkable results. I mean, I could go on for hours because I get calls all the time. Every day, I get calls or emails telling me the latest thing that has happened. So I think I'd like to tell you about when it started. I started doing this. The whole story started when I was 15, and you probably read it in the emails. I made a commitment that I would follow the spirit no matter where it took me. And when I, about 6 years ago, I live here on a mountain in an Indian Hogan, and I had four teenage daughters living at home with me. And the angels came and said, "You have to go to Utah, leave your daughters, leave everything, and go." Now, if you want something in life, I'm going to tell you a great secret. This is the secret of having anything and everything you ever wanted. You have to be willing to pay any price. And the price that they always ask is whatever it is you aren't willing to pay. Well, I was not willing to pay my daughters. I was not willing to leave my home. But when the angels came and told me, I argued with them for about an hour, and then I said, "Okay, I'll go." And then so I got up the next morning and drove to Utah. I thought I was going to be there forever, but it turned out to be a year and a half. I worked with this gentleman. During that time, we developed several more technologies. Total to make this water requires four technologies. And the technologies include you have to make a certain kind of ash. You have to put it through a certain process. When you get through with this ash in this process, you have a liquid water. I mean, the water that comes off of it looks like gold. It's like you, not like yellow food coloring, but golden food coloring is in that water, and it's just beautiful. You put it into the machine, and that's what charges the water. If you change the composition of that gold liquid at all, it doesn't work. So we've refined all of the processes. The fourth process was making gold and putting gold in water. Now, I'm not talking about colloidal gold. I'm talking about an etheric gold, because when you take it to the atomic absorption or X-ray spectrograph, you cannot see the gold in the water. But it can be measured, 6,000 parts per million, and I have a friend that's a chemist who says I should be using 200 ounces of gold per ton. I go through a ton of water every 6 months. So, and I'm not using the gold. I am actually manufacturing alchemically. I'm making gold in the water. And I've had someone on this in the Armis group who took the water and was able to get gold fluoride out of it through some processes that he had. So I know that the gold's in there, but it's not in a metallic form. So we put that in the water when we charge the water. So that is what the water is consisting of. When all of this got too magical, eventually, I live such a magical life, and I have so many incredible experiences. And if you read my stuff on The Psychic Warrior, you'll see that I really do live a magical life. That my partner said, "This is all too woo-woo for me. I can't handle this. I'm leaving." And he drove away. I mean, he said, "Go home, do what you want, build your own machine, bye." And he left. So my son and I, who my son had been working with him too, we came back to Colorado, and that's when we built the machine. Well, one night I was at home, and my angels got back on the line again and said, "You need to tell somebody." And I said, "Tell who? Look where I live. I don't know anyone." So they said, "Well, you have to tell someone, so find someone." So I got on the internet, and I found a Yahoo group called Mystical Wonders. And I posted to them. And a gentleman on Mystical Wonders emailed me back and said, you're on the wrong group. You need to be on Barry Carter's Ormus group. So I found his site, and I called, I posted to Barry Carter. I sent him an email. Excuse me. And Barry called me. And he called me every night for 2 months. And I finally just got in the car and took the water and drove to Oregon and said, here's the water. And he said, Danae, you can't keep this a secret. You have to let people have it. There are people that really need this. So I said, well, I wasn't trying to keep it a secret. I just don't know anybody. I don't know how to market anything. I'm not a business person. So he said, well, I'm going to tell people about it. So that's how the water came to be out there. Well, when people started calling me, they would ask questions. And I couldn't answer their questions, so I had to do all this research. So that's when I started studying, well, what am I really doing here? And I found the book, Joseph and Asenath. It's in the Pseudepigrapha. I think Barry has actually posted it somewhere. And it is a metaphor.
What's it called again?
The book is the Pseudepigrapha, and it's the book of Joseph and Asenath, A-S-E-N-A-T-H. This is the story of when Asenath becomes a high priestess in Egypt. Now, it's not written like that because it had to be. It was Christianized to put it in the Apocrypha. But the story is there. The whole thing is in a metaphor. And she talks about receiving the water of immortality. And we have actually seen that as I've given it to people who are seriously older, you know, like my mother's in her 80s, and I have several people who are in their 80s drinking the water, and they tell me the same story. Every year they get younger. My mother started out on her deathbed, and when my son walked in the first time, he handed her a glass of water and said, here, Grandma, have a drink of water, and he held her head and just dripped a couple drops in her mouth. By morning she was sitting up, and she has steadily gotten well for the last 5 years. She's gotten better and better and better. And she's an astrologer. And she said, I don't understand why I lived, dear. I had 5 death aspects. I really expected to die. So I said, give us some water, Mom. But she's gotten better every year and younger. And her skin now, you know how when people get really old, their skin gets thin? Her skin now looks as good as mine. And I'm in my 50s. So she still drives her car. She still does her work. She's gone back to doing astrology for a living. She goes to the horse races twice a week. She does her own shopping. Vital young lady in her. She's 83 now. So I have seen it actually work that way. For me, every year, my kids say, you look so much better. And the pictures are showing difference, too. So in the book Joseph and Asenath, Asenath calls the water of immortality. And she says it makes her buzz like little buzzing bees all over her. And that's exactly what the water does. When you drink the water, you'll feel this little buzz in the top of your head that turns this spark on between the pineal and the pituitary gland. As you age, that spark turns itself off. But the water actually turns it back on. So then she was given the bread of life. And I know that in the Ormus group, we talk about the bread of life and being Ormus or an Ormus white powder of gold product. But when my son and Calvin were exploring over there, one day the angels told me, send them to see Jerry. And I said, okay. And I called this old friend of mine down in lower Utah, and he's a polygamist, and so he won't talk to women. So when the angels came, they didn't tell me to go. They said, send Calvin and Vernon. So I said, Jerry, my son and my companion want to talk to you. He said, I'd be glad to. Well, they got onto the subject of archaeology, and Jerry said, come on, I'll show you this ancient site I found out here. And he took them up into the mountains and showed them this place. And in this one cleft, there is engravings, carvings. And being an amateur archaeologist, my son and Jerry were both able to interpret it. They said, this is the fire from heaven room. And in this room, it was like glazed solid all the way to the top, and it opened out into the sky. It was about a 2.5-foot square room that you kind of had to get back into through a very narrow passage. On the bottom there was a place, an indentation area, where it looked like a bowl had set. Now they looked at this and said, fire from heaven, fire from heaven. Oh, that's lightning. So they figured out, they went home and they built a lightning machine, because the inscriptions on the walls of this place talked about you could come to this place once every 90 years. For 9 times and be regenerated. And they said, how did they do that? And the thing that we could figure out was that they used this water that they were making in the Fire from Heaven room to regenerate the body during a 7-day program that they had there, some kind of ceremony. So they came home, the guys came home and said, let's build a machine. How do we create lightning? And so they did. And that's how we make the gold. So when Asenath talked about the bread of life, it was coming backwards from the hard gold, the metallic gold, to a white powder of gold stage. But white powder of gold is not water soluble, and so you have to eat massive amounts. Solomon sold this stuff all over the Middle East to kings who wanted the power to rule and have riches and greatness and live long lives. And so he sold this stuff everywhere, but you had to buy a lot of it to make it work. But the people before the Egyptians, the ancients, long time before them, had the ability to take it straight out of the ether going forward so that it never became a solid gold, but yet it still had that golden signature. So we consider our signature elements, or the liquid gold, which we take at 6,000 parts per million, we consider it on the par with the white powder of gold. Now, it probably isn't as strong, maybe, but we aren't sure. But we've tried it in a lot of different concentrations, and about the most your body can handle successfully without going through some real cleansing and healing cycles is about 6,000 parts. So that's what we limited it to. We gave 8 people IQ tests before and after they started on the gold. And at the end of a month of taking 1 tablespoon of that concentration a day, the average person raised 20 points in their IQ. Plus, they were having amazing telepathic and clairvoyant and intuitive events. So that we consider the signature elements equivalent to the Asenath's bread of life. Then they talked about one more thing, and which I didn't have at the time. They talked about in the book the ointment of incorruptibility. And I said, whoa, wait, you can't tell me about them without telling me where to get it. Where is the formula? So doing a little research, I did find the formula. Eventually, I located
and who
it.
Who are you saying this to?
On my angels.
Oh, right,
I just talked to them. I mean, it's like being on telephone with you. I just say, well, wait a minute, you guys. So I found they led me to the formula, and over the previous year, I had been making hand creams, and they had just driven me crazy telling me, make hand creams. So I had mastered the art of actually making hand creams and turning it into this white, puffy, pretty stuff. So I thought, oh, great, I can add that formula to my formula because my formula is really good, too. So I added it together, and I got a call from a man down in Texas who tried it, and he said, Danae, you're making it wrong. You put too many signatures in here, and you're going to have to do something different. So I kind of bit my tongue and said, okay, Farrell, thank you very much. I appreciate your input. And I just went back and very humbly recreated the formula without any modern-day stuff. I didn't put in alpha lipoics or hyaluronics or anything. And when I made the cream, the first time I made it just pure out of their recipe, I was standing there with my beaters in the cream, and my stainless steel blades turned purple. And then they turned, then this golden light formed around the whole thing, and I could see this, like it was a golden light inside the bowl. And people who've come here have seen it. I demonstrate it any time that I get a visitor that wants to see it. So it's not like it's something that happened once. It happens every time. And I looked at that, and I thought, oh, my gosh. And so I yelled, girls, get in here. And so my daughters come running, and they said, Mom, how are you doing that? And I said, oh, great, I'm not hallucinating. So that became what I called Pharaoh's Cream, because the name is very, it sounds like the man's name, Pharaoh, who helped me to come to find that formula, and I mean to do it right.
The famous alchemist Farrell Brenner, I suppose.
Farrell Brenner, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a friend of mine down in Texas, so very nice guy and nice to tell me that. So anyway, that's how I came to have the 3 products, and that's what they're called, and that's what they do. I handed a bottle of cream to a lady in a paper place where she was a printer. She's a printer. And she said she had carpal tunnel really badly, but she didn't tell me. They've been talking for 30 minutes, and I'm going to open it up for questions. And whatever you'd like to know, just give me a buzz.
No. I want you to talk about a couple other things first.
Oh, okay.
And real briefly.
Okay.
Bioresonance patterning you talked about.
Okay. During the year and a half I was with Kelvin.
An overview.
Okay. During the year and a half I was with Kelvin, the angels kept making us learn things like about pyramids. And we learned that pyramids, you've seen the pictures on Barry's site of how the energy comes in, puddles in the corner, goes out the top. But if you put a magnetic floor under a pyramid, it causes it to move very, very quickly, much faster than the 3 meters per second that etheric energy normally moves. It moves, you know, at beyond the speed of light. Well, that creates a vacuum around the pyramid. So the etheric energy going out.
What do you mean by a magnetic floor?
Yeah, a magnetic floor.
What do you mean by a magnetic floor?
Well, we take magnets and we embed them in wood in a grid pattern so that the whole floor has a north face magnet underneath it. So because the etheric energy is leaving so fast, it creates a vacuum, and that means it is sucked back down by the pyramid because the pyramid is going to pull in everything that it can get. It creates a tube torus of energy, of etheric energy, around the pyramid. And right down the center is zero point. Now, when you put your body in a zero point field, you do not have signature on your cells. So my daughter, well, what we've discovered was that if a person does not respond to the water and can't get well, that they have a healing ceiling. Because I went back and said, why does it work for some people and not for others? And the angel said, they have healing ceilings. And that's when they taught us how to put this pyramid and magnetic floor system together. Well, we bought a bioresonant, we bought a voice analysis program from, it's BioWaves, and you can buy it in Washington. It's from Daniel Conkle. And his program allows you to tell what frequencies are missing. And every single person that you talk about has a different pattern in your voice. So your pattern for money may match your same pattern for your father or your mother. A pattern for fear may match a grandparent. So you search through, you look at the voice patterns and see what's going on, and then you find where it came from. But being in zero point, you can erase the old pattern and repattern it. If you don't use that system, you can't, because we've talked to Daniel about this, and he said we're the only ones in the whole country that are getting results in actually changing the voice pattern. And so my daughter learned to be a therapist. She took his program and just intensively got into it. 4 levels of patterns, so she can go from relationships to early childhood programming to... she can even do karmic patterns, and she can take you back to past lives. She's a remarkable lady, and when you go through
the moderator has disconnected.
Okay, it takes about 10 minutes to actually repattern a pattern. So you get 3 or 4 or 5 different sessions in the chair when you're in the chair going through the repatterning. So that's the story of the voice analysis and the bioresonant repatterning. And that way we've found that any time you have a ceiling on anything, whether it be money or health or love or anything in your life, anything you want to get rid of, an old resentment or anger, that this works very well. Okay. Is that... I think he disconnected, whatever reason. Anyway, I'm going to throw it open now because I'm not sure what else he wanted me to talk about. If you want to punch *7, you can come back online and talk to me. Hello, anybody? Am I here?
Yeah. I've got a question I'd like to ask you.
Okay.
This is Bill. I'm in Arkansas, and. You know, in my studies on anti-aging, which, you know, and your product seems to have a lot of promise in that area, it seems to be that, you know, I'm into bodybuilding, And one of the things as you get older in bodybuilding is that you're not necessarily losing the muscle over time, but, you know, you're actually losing the nerve connection to the muscles, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, it sounds like that water has that ability to regenerate nerve function, which that's a real big it's a big factor in the equation of aging.
Yes, it is, and I have many people on it for MS. Matter of fact, two people in Albuquerque right now. The lady could only lift one arm when she first started this, and now she is standing up. She walks around. She does her own housework. It has completely reconnected her body. All the muscles and nerves are now functioning correctly.
Yeah, and you know, I find that amazing because I've never heard of a product that really had the ability to do that. I mean, that's actually one of the reasons why I got led into the Armis group and. You know, just on my search for anti-aging products, and I'm really excited about that. Another thing too, you mentioned the creams, and I'm not sure if I really understood. I really understand the benefit of the water, but I'm not sure if I really understand the benefit of the creams. I think you have one cream that is geared towards a joint rebuilding, and then you've got another cream that is kind of like an anti-aging cream that you would put on your face.
Mm-hmm.
What's been some of the results with those creams?
Okay, let me tell you about the cream, because you're asking the same question that I ask. When I first found the creams, I said to my angels from the book, she said, the water of immortality, the bread of life, and the ointment of incorruptibility. I said, well, those are very similar words, immortality, life, and incorruptibility. Why do you need three things? And they said, because you are three beings. You are physical, mental, and spiritual. The water works at the spiritual level, and wherever the body goes, the spirit has already gone there. So if your body is sick, there's something happening in your spirit that's saying, I'm tired of this world, this is scary down here, it's not happy, it's not making me feel good about life, and so it starts to just degenerate or fall apart or become locked into an old pattern.
Okay.
So the water works at the spiritual level, whereas the gold worked at the mental level or the mind of the human. And the ointment worked at the actual physical level. I took this cream to a group of psychics, and I had 20 ladies sitting around, and they were all psychic readers. And so everyone took turns trying something on. They would use a cream, or they'd drink the water, and then everyone else would look at them. And what they said was that the cream went straight to the bones, that the energy in the cream went straight into the bones to cause a change in something that was going on in the bone marrow.
Okay.
So I'm not sure how to answer your question, but they told me that since we are three different beings, we have frequency things. See, the cream has a dense frequency because it's made out of stuff of this earth.
Right.
Whereas the gold only has, it's an etheric product that comes right out of the ether. And then the water is even more refined because it is life force energy itself. So you're getting the high C, low C, and high C, middle C, and low C. If you wanted to equate them to that,
all right.
It's like playing a harmonic, and it enhances each other. So
I'm definitely impressed with the products that you've developed, and the process and the path that that led you to that. It's fascinating.
Well, thank you. The different creams you talked about, the first one is Pharaoh's cream, and that is the premier cream that's right out of the ancient literature. But people kept calling me and saying, do you have anything specific for joints? So I took that cream, using it as a base, and I added MSM and chondroitin and hyaluronic acid and glucosamine for people to actually put it on knees and joints. And they say it works. They love it. So I make it.
Okay. And the anti-aging, the Pharaoh's cream, is that a cream that you would put on, like, your face? I mean, does it... Is it a skin tightener, or, I mean...
My mother uses it all over, and that's what caused her body to, her skin to regenerate and look like 50-year-old skin instead of 85-year-old skin.
Oh, okay, okay. And so when you're using all three, then you're really getting a major effect from the products, then?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what people tell me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Okay. Next question.
I'm here, Steph, if you want to ask a question.
Hello, this is Cindy. I wanted to ask a question. I've been having success with the Ormus for myself, and it amazing, and using Securitas products a lot, and been sticking with them. But there's something that there's an issue that really distresses me a lot in my family, and it's my father is starting to get be getting Alzheimer's, and there's nothing out there that seems to be able to work with that I have found. Do you have anything that you would recommend for that specific problem to help counteract it? I mean, they've got medications that stop, you know, the progression, but nothing really works great. The side effects are tough. There's nothing really that can stabilize that I found. Do you have any insight?
Cindy, I have had people, I have only had one person with Alzheimer's use any of my products, and they said that when he was on them, he was lucid and just was totally normal. But they didn't stay on the products. After the first 6 months, they just started letting him go.
Huh?
Go. So I really don't know what the long-term effects are.
I say there's very little information out there, you know, that you can, you know, find.
Well, I know that the gold works on age-related memory loss. People who have, you know, who are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, they all tell me the same thing, that when they take the gold, their minds are as sharp as when they were 20.
Right. Well, I know from personal experience, it helped me a lot. But, you know, it's so sad to see him. I mean, he's a brilliant man. And it's just at the beginning stages, and if we could do something now. And
I personally would try the water and the gold. That's what I would do.
The water and the gold.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Good luck.
But how do I get off and get muted again? Star 7?
Star 6, I think, mutes you.
Star 7, mute you?
Star 6, mute you.
Star 7, unmute you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello.
Now, everybody, you have to call me to order the products. I don't have a website. You can't order them online. You can't send me a check and ask me to send something. You call me, I tell you, and we talk it over, and then I ship it out then. So, 719.
Give me your phone number now, Danae.
Pardon me?
Give your phone number now.
Thank you. 719-783-0310. 719-783-0310. Okay. Any other questions?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. This is Rich from Buffalo. This is my first time in one of these conferences. I have a question that is on my mind because of what I read through Dennis's email, and it said something about addictions. You could treat them, or it might, perhaps based on what you were talking about, it could remove that imprint when you reach that 0 point state, and you know, get rid of that tendency.
Okay.
Would that be like using the gold, or which?
We've had several experiences with addictions. Now, a couple of them with alcohol and a couple of them with alcohol. The tobacco ones, the people drank the water, and that meant 8 ounces a day for 1 week. At the end of the week, they had major flush cleanses. This one man said he dreamed that he was walking through a morgue and all these dead bodies were everywhere, and it stank so bad that the smell finally woke him up, but he could still smell it. And that's when he realized that the 35 years of smoking that he had was everywhere. The sheets were soaking wet and they were yellow, and he just stank terribly. But once he went through that flush, He said he went and took a shower, and he never craved another cigarette again. And we had another man go through the same experience. Then I had people, I've had people who did the same thing with alcohol, who said as soon as they started the water, their alcohol consumption started dropping, and then they stopped craving it, and then finally it was like, yuck, I don't even want this stuff. I had a lady who was a caffeine addict and drank a ton of coffee all day long. She drinks it. She's down in Las Vegas. Her name's Linda, and she said since she started the water, she doesn't drink one drop of coffee. It does the same thing for her as coffee, and she feels great, and she doesn't have any of the other side effects, too. So those are our experiences with the water on addiction. As far as the bioresonant repatterning, sometimes people have addictions because of an emotional attachment. And so they won't, I mean, I've had people say, I can't drink that water. I'm not going to drink it because then I don't like the taste of my cigarette. They need the chair. They need the repatterning more than anything else to get rid of their attachment to why they're smoking in, or drinking or whatever in the first place. Did I answer your question?
Oh, yeah, very much. So it works even if there isn't the intention necessarily?
Oh, you don't have to have an intention.
Wow. Oh, yeah, that does answer my question. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question? Anyone?
I've got kind of a metaphysical.
I have a question.
Okay, I got two of you.
Ladies first.
Thank you.
It's very kind of you. Danae, this is Rose from London. I was wondering, do you know how your products would survive the possible x-rays and things like that, that they would get through international travel?
I've sent them all over the world.
Fine.
I send them to Russia, I send them to Germany, I send them to Canada, I've sent them to Australia, and they all tell me that they still work.
Okay, that's really good to know. Thank you.
Excuse me, Ross, can I come in here? Ross,
sure,
excuse me, Danae.
Before Danae sent them, and if they asked, they would just come through fine, and they did.
Thank you.
Danae, can you excuse me? Ross, are you still there?
Hi.
Hi.
What's your name again?
I have a father who's 84, and last year he was he had a shunt put in, and he's had problems with it. That's a 5-minute shunt, the brain operation, and to drain water pressure off the brain. In any case, wrist strokes and whatnot, he's lost quite a lot of function. And I've been wondering if this would help, possibly help him regenerate some nerve damage that he sustained.
Yeah, the water. Not the. It. I don't know if the gold would, but I think the water would be there for you.
Okay.
I just try it. You know, everybody, it's really cheap. My angels won't let me raise the prices. They say you have to keep this water cheap so anybody that wants it can have it. If you try a box, you're not out much, and you'll know within, usually people know within 4 or 5 bottles, and that's, I think they're $6 a bottle, and they last 4 days. So it doesn't cost much to try the experiment. If it works for you, wonderful. If it doesn't work for you, then you will know it really fast.
That sounds great. So I order it directly from you then.
Yes, you do. Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can people come out to your location, or you'd rather not?
That's really hard for me because we are so remote, and we have no facilities, and we have no running water, and it's really hard when people come here.
Yeah. I've got a place right over the mountain from you.
Oh.
Rye, Colorado.
Rye, okay.
Anyway, there's Lou in Tucson. Lou Harris.
Yes, Lou, I come to Tucson often.
Were you directed to move to that place somehow?
Actually, I was. I got in the car one day, and I said, they kept telling me, I was in Southern California, and they kept telling me, you've got to move out, move out. So I moved to Utah, and then they said, you didn't move far enough. So I said, okay, I'm just going to drive. Got in the car, and I said, okay, stop. And it was go straight, turn here, go there, do that. I ended up in this little valley. I walked into the first real estate office, and the woman could not see me. Honest to goodness, she didn't see me. So I left. In the second real estate office, the woman said, oh, we're just way too busy to deal with you right now. You'll have to leave. And I mean, I couldn't believe this. I thought, wow, this is the rudest place I've ever been to. Walked into the third one, a man walked up to me and handed me a list of properties and said, you'll find what you're looking for on here. I ran down the list with my finger. There were 20 properties on it. I circled one, and I said, that's the one. And he said, well, I can't sell it to you without seeing it. I said, oh, yes, you can. And he said, no. And so he wouldn't. He made me come out here. As soon as I saw it, I said, yeah, this is what I was supposed to buy. And I did. And then my kids and I, we made this place from scratch out of just, like, when people build houses, there's all these end pieces that are left, and we would go to the dumpsters, and we'd get all this throwaway wood, and we came back, and we built it like a log cabin, and we just stacked the wood on top of each other and butted pieces up against each other, and it's an eight-sided Indian hogan, 24 foot across, and we made two of them side by side. And eventually we put in, you know, the floors and then the ceilings and then the walls. And so it's a nice place to live now. And we're building another place now. We're building a dome, an underground dome down on the other end of the property. But that's how I got here.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Lou.
I have a million more questions, but I won't ask them here.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Serena, I know you wanted to ask a question.
I think that free room timed out. There was a voice announcement that it disconnected.
Really?
About five okay. minutes ago.
Oh, don't maybe worry. Somebody could get him back.
No, don't worry. I'm okay with just having the benefactors on the call at the moment.
Okay, well, what has surprised me about this call is that no one has asked me, how do you do it?
Go ahead.
Is this phone open or have I got to switch something?
That's the question everybody asks me.
Hello?
So I will tell you a little bit about
okay.
how we do it.
I have a question.
This line is now muted.
There's a huge change.
This line is now unmuted.
Water across the ocean by airmail is very expensive.
Yeah,
Danae, by the way, this is Sick Virta of Hong Kong.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, I live in Hong. I live in Hong Kong. How are you? I heard a lot about you.
Oh, thank you.
well,
Sick Virta, you should just have me come over there and bring my son in and have us do the whole thing there, and so you can have your own machine.
The machine is duplicatable, then, right?
Yes. There is an issue with the machine. The machine runs on your mind. So whoever is making the water, their personal signature goes into that water.
This line is now muted.
Most of the products that are manufactured, you know, the white gold products.
That's right.
I'm a very big stickler on the intention part of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I always try to be quite careful when we put our products together of what my mind is on and, you know, what I'm thinking about and that I'm dedicated to the process. But, you know, if these products will do what you say they will do, we have a huge potential market here. But like you, I'm not that interested in the money-making aspect of it as I am with the actual ability to help people,
that's
you know, who are struggling.
That's right, absolutely. That's what this whole thing's about.
But anyway, my concerns would be in that area as to whether or not such a the person uses the machine has to be the person who has put it together or built it.
Well, no, my daughters did not build the machine, and they can use the machine. But I've had people here.
This line is now unmuted.
From Texas and from all over the country, and they try to use the machine, and they say, it is scary. The energy is so powerful, it is scary. The first time I hooked it up when I had a Cloudbuster sitting next to it, I dropped 7.5 feet.
This line is now muted.
Within 3 days, we had dropped 7.5 feet of snow. I had to we dug through the snow to get to the building that the machine was still in. We dismantled the machine and had to dump out the liquid and dismantle the Cloudbuster before we finally got the snow to stop.
Well, do you, does it require a mountainous rural atmosphere
no.
for the...
Because no,
I'm
because
in Hong
I've
Kong.
Taken mm-hmm. I've taken it to a lot of places.
This is the most densely populated city on the planet Earth. It's even more dense than Tokyo. We have 250,000 people per square mile here.
Wow. Well, I don't know what to say about that. It's lived on the plains in Utah, in Arizona, Provo, Utah, and it's. I took it to Arkansas, and I ran it back there, and in a big city back there. It gives off an intense electromagnetic field. When I first started using it, and when Calvin first started using it, it would kill our bone marrow. I was borderline leukemic all the time until I figured out how to attune myself to the machine so that I'm running at the same frequency that the machine runs at so that it can't hurt me. Which was what happened in the Old Testament with the Ark of the Covenant. You know, the priests had
right,
to put the ointment
right.
all over their bodies in order to protect themselves from the Ark, from the discharge. So we do the same thing here.
So I guess my question is, would someone have to come to you if they wanted to duplicate this machine? Or do you build them? Or
No, I think it's really specific to the location. It took me a while to be. It took me 128 mistakes before I was able to adjust this machine to this location.
Uh huh.
So.
Well, that sounds that sounds right.
It's an intense
because
process of tuning. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, I can understand that because I have changed locations for production also in accordance with what feels right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have some understanding of what that's about.
I can understand. Now you're also looking at there.
Are we going to bring you here tonight?
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to bring you here to the Gold Coast, and you will
oh.
love this place.
How fun. Okay, let me tell you about the machine. We're talking about the water charging machine is the last and easiest part of the whole journey. You have to make the gold. You have to make the liquid, the golden water that goes into the machine. And you have to make the ash that makes the golden water. They're not easy. That first ash-making process, that is where we have our hardest time. Then there's an entire process to making that gold water, and it entails high-pressure vessels. We take this water to 700 parts per square inch, and we use AC and DC, and we use electricity. You know, we use the electricity, and we use temperature, and we shake it, and the whole process is an amazing Jocell production, and literally, it is like the Jocell. So, what I'm when we say the water charging machine, it's like, oh, that's the easy one. So.
Well, in making the gold, you're speaking about making ash, and if you're doing that, then are you deriving that from the atmosphere, or are you do you have some natural
you have to use wood.
Substances that are native to your area?
No. Do you remember in the alchemical literature how they have the oak, and it's entwined with this vine that goes around it?
Yes.
There is a process with a resinous wood, any wood that is highly resinous, and you can use the frankincense and myrrh because one of them is a vine that binds around this tree. You use that wood and you create an incense-type material out of it in this ashing process. And the ashing process is not easy. You put the wood, and you can't use a different kind of wood. You use the same, a heavy resinous wood. We use a pine that's grown on a volcanic bed. You put it into your furnace, and you burn the first layer. And while it's still bright red and occasional flames coming off the coals, you have to put your next layer of wood in. Then you close this machine down. You close your fireplace down. It has to be, you have to have a vapor going into it so that it's got a lot of moisture in it. So you have to use green wood. And then when that wood gets to where it's just barely cold, you throw another load of wood in on top of it, close it up, and let it finish. And when the whole thing is completely cold, then you scrape off the top layer, and you take this center layer of ash, and that's the only ash that will work. And I could show you some remarkable things to do with that ash. You take that ash and you mix it with water, distilled water, put it in a furnace and bake it at 1,800 degrees. You take it up to 1,800 degrees, turn off the furnace, and then let it sit until the whole thing is ice cold and pull it out. Now you've got a little hard cupcake. And when you take that little hard cupcake and grate it, and put it in water, you've got rhodium and iridium. It turns purple. It turns the water purple. And with that rhodium and iridium, you can't... You have to be really careful how much you take, because we did some experiments with it. You can't tell the difference between your conscious and your subconscious. And so because they're talking to each other and shaking hands, you don't know whether what you're seeing is a dream or whether it's reality. You have to be very, very spiritually live in that constant state of in touch with everything. You talk to the rocks. You talk to the trees. You talk to the animals. Everything has a voice then. And that rhodium and iridium makes the whole world just come alive. Most people cannot handle that level of intuitive attachment, but that's what you get when you make when you take that ash to the next level. So,
well, that sounds quite familiar because I've been to Korea where they are making the bamboo salt. I don't know if you're familiar with the bamboo salt.
No.
And they use a resinous knotty pine.
Uh-huh.
To fire the kiln and to, you know, burn off the bamboo, which enriches the salt. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, the bamboo salt is quite, I don't know, it puts you in another state of mind when you first take it. It's pretty interesting stuff.
Oh, I could believe it. If they're using a resin, you're getting gold.
Yeah.
You're probably getting rhodium and iridium.
They put it up to about... 1,300 to 1,400 degrees centigrade in a kiln that's made with a yellow loess clay,
mm-hmm.
and it imbues certain qualities to the dry sea salt which they are actually baking.
Uh-huh.
But the resinous pine has a lot to do with the end product, and so sounds to me it's quite similar to that what you're talking about.
Yeah, it does sound similar. What we found is that the longer we run this machine, the bigger the radius that we have that we affect the ground too. When I first moved here, anything I planted in this ground died because, you know, it's a pine forest up here and it's very, very, very acid and it could not sustain life for anything. There is no soil. It's all just decayed granite, decayed rock. And now... I'm finding that all the plants in my greenhouse are going right through their boxes and going down into the soil, and they're not dying. The first few years I lived here, I must have killed hundreds of trees because I brought in tree after tree, and I put them in boxes, and they get out, and they go through the soil and hit the soil, and as soon as they hit the soil, they die. But now the whole earth around us has become lush, and it produces anything. You can put anything in the ground here now. So the machine does have an effect on the area it's in, too. I know Dennis wanted to make sure I said that.
Transforming the earth.
Yeah.
So anyway, I guess the first thing would be to get some of your products and try them, and then if I wanted to go from there, then I would contact you later. Correct?
Sure, that would be fine.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Sigberta.
Hey, this is Tim in Oklahoma.
Hi, Tim.
I have a question regarding, I know quite a bit of research on the Joseph and the Egyptian and the Temple of Heliopolis. One of the things mentioned in the scriptures has to do with acacia wood, and then they used a lot of cedar wood in the lining of those temples. Do you think that those have any special applications in either that ash or in the atmosphere that you're using for that, creating those things?
Oh, absolutely. The cedar wood especially. It has a very rich signature that is very high in what you would, what we would call ormus, or undifferentiated elements. Absolutely, because it creates a resonance. Mm-hmm. And besides, it accumulates etheric energy. You know, you put any etheric energy accumulator, you have a metallic substance like the gold or copper, and then you put an etheric energy accumulator, and then you put the metal again, and then the airspace that's in the box will gather all the etheric energy. And they had a huge etheric energy accumulator. Okay, did I answer your question?
Yeah, thanks. So I was just wondering about your pyramid chair and stuff, if you had tried it in a closed environment with either one of those woods.
I haven't put the woods in them. Let me tell you about pyramids. You can use a pyramid. Pyramids come in all different shapes. You can use a pyramid that is 51 or 52 degrees, just like the ones in Giza, or you can use a 72-degree angle Cleopatra pyramid. Each time you change the angle, you change the signature of the information that's coming through that pyramid. We do not use an Earth-based pyramid. The Giza pyramid is an Earth-based pyramid. It's based on the polar radius of the Earth. It is the connection. It is like a God connection, God-man, but it's real serious Earth power. We use a pyramid based on a galactic constant. And what happens when you step inside of our pyramid is that you lose time and space. You are any age. You are all ages. You can be in there 5 minutes like you were in there for 6 hours. You can be in there 6 hours and be like 5 minutes. There's no concept and no perception of changing time or space. So that's why it works so well when we use it with the repatterning, because when she asks you to talk about an event that happened when you were 12 years old, you're 12 years old again. You're not looking back on the event anymore. You get the exact same signature, feeling, everything, and you're there in time and space.
What's the size of that pyramid?
Okay, let me give you the dimensions. You can make it out of copper rod. You go down to Home Depot and buy copper rod. And the bottom dimension, the bottom side, is 87.5 inches. And then the next one is the riser. And you cut the riser side at 85 inches. And you put your little caps and your little wires at the top, and you put your caps on the bottom, and you kind of hold it all together. And that's what that is how you make this pyramid. Every pyramid has a 4-degree leeway. So if you're off a degree, it's okay. I mean, it takes 4 degrees. Around 51 is the degree of the pyramid in Giza. If you drop down to 49 or go up to 53, you get the same effect, which is a drying effect. It takes water out of everything, and the reason why is because 52 degrees is the half angle of the bond between water and hydrogen oxygen and hydrogen in the water molecule, sorry. And so when you split the water molecule, you get a drying effect, which is exactly what happens when you split when you create a pyramid with 51 or 52 degrees. You get a drying effect. So things mummify in them. It also turned the beautiful, lush Sahara Desert, what we call the Sahara Desert, which was at one time a beautiful lush forest and tropical land, into a desert, because it has a tendency to dry out everything around it. So you have to be really careful what kind of pyramids you choose to use. The 72-degree angle pyramid is an incredible powerhouse. It's like God power, and the pharaohs used to charge their Jed wands in it, the D-J-E-D wands, which is a copper for the right hand, the zinc for the left hand, and it's lined with ceramic with magnetite embedded in it with a hole down the center, which made it an etheric energy accumulator. The magnetite was life force energy. It created the circuit. The two dissimilar metals created the circuit between your two hands, and pharaohs didn't have to eat. They had energy in abundance at night, or whenever they stopped working, that they would put their Jed wands back into the 72-degree angle pyramid. And those are the pyramids you find all over Egypt and all over China, too.
Yeah.
I know that was overkill, huh? Anyway, a little bit on pyramids.
What do you do? Do you go inside the pyramid then?
Yeah. Matter of fact, if someone is suffering from depression, we put the magnetic floor down. We put a big, tall mattress on it because you don't want to sleep next to the magnets. But you do want to sleep in the etheric energy field. And then we have people sleep in it. After 3 days in there, their depression is gone. It just incredibly changes the whole behavior pattern. It's not a permanent change. You have to sleep in it periodically after that to keep the depression from coming back, even if it's a chemical or bipolar depression. Did I answer you?
Is that outside or inside? You have it inside a house?
We put it in our house.
Okay. Now, it's not a solid side, then. It's just copper tubing
just
built
copper
in the
tubing.
Shape of a pyramid.
That's right. It doesn't need solid sides to work.
In fact, I created a pyramid with power plates and just had the power plates at the points of the pyramid. And that's what I create my Ormus production in, the power point of that pyramid.
That's neat.
Any other questions?
Overwhelming information.
Pardon me?
It's overwhelming information.
I know.
This is Lou in Tucson again.
Okay. Sorry, I don't mean to be overwhelming here.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it.
What is amazing to me is the discussions and the bringing together of us and the sharing of energy. I'm glad to see Seek and Dennis and a lot of people that are around. It just gets more and more exciting. So thank you for me.
Well, thank you.
And you got to get more. I'm glad you're doing this because more people are going to find out about you and exposed to more things. It's time. It's just time.
Everything. Yes, this is Seek Verda again. I'm ever more amazed as time goes on how much more the world is turning this way.
Yeah.
And it just takes a bit of exposure to it that certain of us I guess have been called to do this.
Oh yeah, and it's amazing how much commonality and understanding with people.
This line is now unmuted.
They get together, the energy and the excitement that it's just amazing. And you're from different areas of expertise, too, that you're working on different things. And I have a question, a quick one for Seek Verda, if you don't mind. I have the, if you don't mind, if this, I have your the red gold powder and the liquid. And how do you take the red liquid? I know the powder is easy.
Are you speaking of the pure gold, the red gold?
Yeah. Yes, I've got the liquid and the powder.
Okay, I just take I have a small plastic spoon that I use with the liquid. You make sure you shake it up well first.
Okay.
Because it will settle.
Ah, okay.
And then on the powder, I just wet the tip end of my finger and just put a little on there and then stick it under my tongue.
That's what I've been doing with it, but the red liquid, I wasn't sure how much and how to utilize it the best way.
Well, you know these little coffee stirrer spoons like you get at McDonald's or someplace when you go in for a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
They have these little plastic long handled spoons for stirring. I take something about that size and I just ingest a bit of the red elixir.
Okay, thanks. Let's get back to the talk. I'm just glad I had a chance to speak to you. Bye.
Any other questions for Danae?
Hey, Danae, I just wanted to make sure. Could you go over your phone number again one more time, please?
Sure. 719-783-0310.
783-0310.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure I had that right.
Okay.
Now, don't forget, if you want to ask a question, you have to unmute yourself by hitting star 7.
I have another question for Danae, if that's okay.
Sure.
Should you take your water or your gold on an empty stomach?
No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I have people that make tea out of it. I have people who put it in their, bake it in their bread.
That's interesting. So it doesn't react with stomach acid or anything like that then?
Mm-mm.
And does it matter if it comes into contact with metal or anything like that?
I don't know, but I would, for my mother is really kind of an eccentric lady, so what I do is I pour it into her great big, the bottom of her great big metal Berkey filter. So maybe it doesn't. I would think personally that you wouldn't want it to come into metal contact,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know. So I couldn't
okay.
say. I know the gold will be fine no matter what it comes in contact with. It is a real real product. It's not, it's not like Intention did it or anything. You can measure it. You can taste it. It tastes like lemon. It. I said a whole bunch of this stuff to Dennis. So he said he would try it for a month. Pardon me?
It tastes lemony.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Dennis
That's
said he would try it for a month and report back and tell you if he had any results from it.
It's only been a week now, and I have to tell you that I took the Spark of Life water before I went to bed my very first night that I took it, and I woke up at 3:30 in the afternoon the next day.
Wow.
And I was still dreaming, having a lucid dream, and my eyes were open. And the dream was still happening. And I was going, I'm quite enjoying this dream, so I closed my eyes and lay back down until it just finished. And then it was afterwards, when I got up and started wandering around, I went, shit, that's never happened to me before. And by then, I was just registering how late it was. I'm going, no way. Anyway, something happened. In fact, I'm holding this Spark of Life bottle right now. I'm just going to have another slurp.
Danae, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, thank God. Okay. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Who is that?
Okay. This... made it back.
Good.
Good.
Yeah, thank you.
Were you gone?
I was in the free room and got disconnected and didn't know what happened because I had done the conference call.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thing. Yeah.
I'm glad you made it back.
I made it back. But I wanted to ask you, how does one get to use this machine, this bioresonator chair that you have?
My daughter has taught several people across the country and in Canada, and they've actually recreated the chair and taught them how to use it and how to do the whole pattern. The whole apparatus and the training and the program to run it costs $5,500. And we don't make anything on that except for what Leah makes when she teaches. She charges $1,500 to travel to teach. So you can come here. They do it up in Denver several times a month. She has hundreds of clients, and she travels a lot all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in America, I'm sure that there'd be a time and place we could arrange, you know, for her to come. If you're not, then there's a possibility that you could either come and take the training and buy the equipment and learn to do it yourself, or maybe someday we can come to you. Don't know what else to say.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else wants to ask a question?
Okay, I'm here. This is Jesse in Santa Fe. Hi, Danae.
Hi.
I looked a little bit earlier for you on Vernon's website at MySpace.
Yes.
And I just wanted to let you know I did not locate that.
Oh.
But in case anyone else is looking for the site that has the information about the creams and the water and the the elements. It is on etherichenergy.org, and that's etheric with an A before the E.
Okay.
And I just wanted to let everyone know that they can go and look at that page. It has all the information about
thank you very much,
the
Jesse.
That's great.
And everything. And I was wondering...
Hi, Jesse. Can you spell that again?
Yeah. It is A-E-T-H-E-R-I-C, etheric,
okay.
Energy,
okay.
And that's one word, and it is .org. So just type that in to a search engine, you will see her name there, Danae's name, and just follow that link, and it will take you to a little page with all the information.
Is that Rainy Guy?
Thank you.
Is that?
I guess that is. Let me see if I go back here. It's the Range Guide Wholesale Club.
Yeah, that's fine. Elder, yeah.
Yeah, if you just go down a little ways, you'll see the name.
Hi.
Name.
Okay, thank you very much, Jesse.
Yeah, no problem. I wanted to ask you, what's your sense about the Ormus relation in the water or the content in the water? Have you guys given you any information about its presence?
Barry had
this like...
And I'll tell you how Barry Carter told me what was going on. He said, if you take gold and it's a hard metal, it's like you have a three-legged stool and all three legs are here in this dimension. He said, Ormus is like putting one of those legs into the other dimension. It changes it so that it is a non-differentiated element. But he said, but Danae, what you're doing is you're catching it when it only has one leg in this dimension. So he said he believes it's the same thing. It's just that it's not taken form. As the Earth moves, it's constantly moving through the universe. We cut through the standing wave of the universe. The standing wave of the universe is what they've called dark matter or the superluminous light. It comes out of black holes. It's everywhere. It permeates everything. Hartmut Müller of the Russian Institute of Science says the standing wave, every time all the stuff is coming out of the black holes, it goes up and it follows the wave, but because they're all bouncing off of each other, it becomes like a standing wave. And as the Earth cuts through that, the salt and the water on this planet attract the Ormus. Attract this superluminous light, and it starts to take form, and that is what becomes Ormus, in the salt water, and then as it takes more and more form, it becomes elemental, and it takes on the signature of different elements. But when we catch it, before it has bonded with salt, before it's come into any kind of form, and it's still in that wave particle type of existence, and we just put it, we concentrate it straight into water. We concentrate it in the water. And I give you a clue, everybody. This is so important. Whatever you're doing, there's two things, gold and spark gap. The spark gap is where the etheric energy is captured. So we capture it in the water, and we concentrate it with this DC box around it so it just can't reach its normal saturation point and run out. And so it gets thicker and thicker and thicker in there. And it's just life force energy coming into the water. But that life force energy in salt water, like your blood or like the oceans, takes on the form of Ormus as it congeals and takes on any form. And the little regulators in your blood, if you have live blood cell analysis done, the little regulators in your blood are the colloids of life that distill from the colloids of light. That's what Beauchamp said about it when he discovered them. And you can destroy them, but they will grow back because they are an Ormus. They are Ormus in its still in its light form before it becomes a hard matter. And the regulators are what keeps you alive. They clean off everything. They regulate every single system of the body. They become every different element in that, you know, they go to every different cell to become part of the cell. And without them, you die. And that's they discovered that when the astronauts went into space, they found that when they came back from space, the first group that got out past the Van Allen belts, they were outside of the magnetic field, and the ormus, I mean the regulators in the blood all died. And so they had to give them actual injections of those regulators from other blood that they'd extracted in order to bring to keep, get them back and to keep them alive when they came back. So ormus is a very valuable part of our life force. I mean, we can't live without it.
Yeah.
Yes?
I have one more question. I just bought something today at an Indian food store, and I'm interested in the salt because, you know, you get to know your salt. And it was something different. I wondered if you knew anything about it. It's called black salt.
No, I don't. I'm sorry. Barry would probably be able to answer that, but I don't.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Next, do you have a question?
I don't know, speak up at once.
Anybody else have a question for me?
Well, I'll ask a little. If no one else is has a question at the moment. So you do feel that essentially you are working with ormus and capturing it before it goes into like a salt matrix.
Yes.
So that is the primary element in the water. And do you know of any like water elemental connections going on with the water as well?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
I'm wondering if there's any elemental forces that you're aware of that are working through the water.
Well,
perhaps you haven't.
If you look at the Bible code, hydrogen is the element of creation, and of course, water has a lot of hydrogen in it. So I think that hydrogen is another key player whenever we're talking about ormus. I think it's an interaction between that life force energy that exists within the hydrogen element.
You are so right. I just wrote something about that on the list. This is Siegfried again.
Thank you.
I've been having this controversy about what happens in a vortex, a magnetic blender situation, and I think too many people forget the importance of hydrogen. It's all about the hydrogen.
Absolutely, it is. We used to
every
use
other,
hydrogen.
Every element is created from hydrogen.
Yes, it is.
And when you said it's the building block of creation, you are absolutely right, and I believe people forget that. They're too interested in things like oxygen and nitrogen. Well, they are subsets to hydrogen. Hydrogen is the key building factor.
When I worked with Calvin, he used to use a hydrogen torch. But if you would turn that hydrogen torch off and run the hydrogen across the different elements that he was working with, he could take an ore and turn that ore into anything. He could turn it into gold or platinum, depending upon the amount of hydrogen he applied to it.
Right.
We had amazing alchemical experiences there because he loved to play with metals and he loved to make them. And the hydrogen was the key to everything. And
that's
you know
correct.
The Brown's gas generator? It's a hydrogen oxygen torch. It's a water torch. But if you turn the fire and just run the hydrogen that comes out of there across damaged skin like a burn or a scar, it heals immediately. Hydrogen can do amazing things.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
Thank you.
That's incredible, really.
Does anyone else want to ask a question, or you want me to take off and talk about something else, or what?
Danae, this is Tim again. I have one more question.
Okay.
Part of the atmosphere, when you're talking about the etheric, pulling that out, have you ever tried that in a closed atmosphere that would be like 2.5 times the normal which is the theory behind what the Earth was at one time when it had the waters above and closed around it. At the time of creation, there's some theory that says that at one time the Earth's atmosphere was much denser than it is. The Biosphere Project kind of did some experiments for that, and plants were very receptive to that. I was wondering if...
Yeah, when I gave it to her, I just said, try it for, you know, as a moisturizer. And
creating the water in and a... something of that nature that would give you a little bit different atmosphere.
You know, Tim, we have not tried charging the water with it, but we do make the gold that makes the machine run in an amplified atmosphere. We put it under the atmospheric pressures that are like several times the normal atmospheric pressure, and we've found that at the first change is at 65, the second change is at 320, and the third change, where it really becomes amazing, is when you get the atmospheres up to 700 pounds of pressure. So
how do you do that, Danae?
In a closed vessel, just like he's talking about.
Yeah. We've done a geodesic dome experiment where we just took it up to 2.5 times the normal pressure just in a sealed dome. Be very similar to what they do for burn victims if they put you in a hyperbaric chamber.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost the same atmosphere, and it converts poison into protein. It causes plants to germinate much higher rates. It has tremendous differences on fruiting. We've not tried a long-term experiment like that, but I've been interested in taking that kind of a space and creating ormus in it to see if there's any difference. But I would love to see what your machine would do in something like that, too.
Oh, that would be interesting. I would, too. Thank you. That would be fascinating. Comments or questions?
Any other questions?
I have one, too.
Okay.
I'd like for you to go over that part where, in your introductory remarks, where you said that somewhere in the desert country of Utah, they found this person took them to this little room. You said it was 2x2 or something.
Yeah.
And they created something there. What was that again?
This is the Fire from Heaven room, where they
Fire from Heaven room,
where they took a lightning rod up to the top through this mountain. And now I've got some other examples of this too, but I'll tell you this one first. They took a lightning rod up, and at the bottom there was a bowl where they had their water. And when the lightning, and this area is known for lightning storms where it's located, when the lightning would hit that lightning rod, it would go down the rod to the tip of the rod, which was, we believe, was gold tipped. The reason why we believe it was gold-tipped is because we know the man who found the original is everyone acquainted with the fact that in the Grand Canyon there is a great big Egyptian civilization?
Yeah.
Amazing rooms and things like that.
Yeah.
This man had found that. He was down there, and he was...
The government now sealed off, right?
Yes, the government has sealed it off. He has several artifacts from there. I've been to his place, and we've talked about this whole thing. The gentleman from Tucson, his name is Joe Blankenship, if you ever get a chance to talk to him about it, fascinating story. He found a room in that Grand Canyon thing that was open to the ceiling, open up to the air again. It had a lightning rod in it, a great big long copper rod that had some kind of a tip on the end of it. And it went down into a massive bowl that they filled with water, and the room was covered. When he went in there, he said the room was covered with white powder everywhere. So we believe that the lightning and eventually the Ark of the Covenant, which produced an etheric element of electricity, the etheric electricity, we believe that they both can produce ormus or white powder of gold. And when I make gold with my machines, I have still got the original 3 ounces of gold that I started with 5 years ago. I've never used any of it up, even though my chemist friend says I should be going through 200 ounces per ton of water, 200 ounces of, you know, twice a year. And I've never used any gold, but I make it because the electricity, etheric electricity, has the ability to create out of the ormus in the atmosphere any element that you give it the signature for.
You know, that flies in the face of what David Hudson said, that you cannot use electricity in any way to make ormus. I don't believe that's true. I mean, I believe what you're saying, that...
I do it
yes.
all the time, sorry. I can't agree with Dave.
So do I.
Now, we did not ever start out trying to make ormus or trying to make white powder of gold or anything else. What we did was we were playing around and we experimented and these things just came out of it. So we didn't set out to say, well, we think you can. We just were doing it and it accidentally happened, and so it was all serendipitous for us.
Well, that's, you know, we spoke earlier, the lady asked me about the pure red gold powder that we make.
Mm-hmm.
That is a combination of an electrical process and precipitation, and so yes, you know, the proper use of electricity can certainly help in making ormus products.
I think so too. Uh-huh. Absolutely. And I use both AC and DC in my processes. And I don't feel that. And I feel that they're both important and they're both necessary at some point. I mean, I use them to make the gold liquid and I use it to make the water. So they're both important.
Right, okay. I agree with you.
Thank
this
you.
This is a fascinating call. Anyone else got any questions who hasn't had their head completely boggled yet?
Okay, wow.
Well, I guess it's getting pretty late for you guys, huh?
Well, I would ask you something, Siegfrieda. Have you ever tried using frankincense or myrrh?
You know, I haven't since I've been here in Hong Kong, because I used a bit of it when I was in Saudi Arabia because it's abundantly available.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been so busy doing other things, I haven't got back to it. But, yeah, that's magical stuff.
Okay, because that was the gift of the Magi's, and we use that, and that's in the cream. They're both in the cream, and that's what makes them turn purple. It makes the blades turn purple, which says that there is rhodium and iridium in it.
Yes.
And I know the purple
to,
is...
I used to go on Vision Quest, something similar to a Vision Quest, about once a month when I was in the Middle East. And I would go up into the mountains of Saudi Arabia alone, and... I would take that stuff with me and burn it. And it was amazing, the effects of on sleep and on being able to communicate with, you know, other earthly things.
Mm-hmm.
It does have a lot of magical qualities to it.
Yes, it really does.
How did you use it when you burned it? You just burned it and inhaled the smoke?
Yes.
Which is
yes. What I would do is it was kind of a combination of the way of Merlin, a druidic procedure. I would make a stone altar up on the hillside near a sacred tree and a sacred well, and then. You know, I would do my meditations and prayer in the midst of the aroma and fumes coming off the frankincense and myrrh, and it's really quite magical. I know why they used it in the temples of the past.
It's interesting that you would also put it with the sacred water and the sacred
yes,
tree,
there,
which
there was
is, all, has the
always
resin.
Water there. You always in the druid. The druid way,
Druidic.
The way of Merlin, you must have access to a well of spring of well water, a native natural spring, and also a sacred tree. These are vital components that you work with. And, you know, I mean, even though I'm, you know, 5,000 miles from there right now, I can still revisit those places.
Yeah. And your consciousness
once,
is connected.
Once you've been there, I mean, and that's part of the way also is that is that, you know, once you embed these images in your mind, you can always go back there because the feelings, which are you know, revisitable,
mm-hmm.
Are always with you. And so once you've created that atmosphere, you can just go back there.
Yep. You create a spirit.
And when I'm needing a lift, that's what I do.
Wonderful. Good plan. That's what I use my mountain here for.
Yeah, I can imagine the arrangement that you have there creates the atmosphere for the spiritual existence that you pursue. I mean, you actually create that. It has to be, I mean,
yes.
If the components are there, you can put it together.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's absolutely.
Danae, I have a question.
Okay.
You said before that you were amazed that people didn't ask you how you did it. Would you like to talk about that now, or did you already do that?
I did a little bit. I talked about that there are four parts that you first have to make an ash. You take the ash to a vessel that you create a golden liquid off of that ash. Then you take the golden liquid to the machine, and then you put it in the machine. We talked a little bit about that earlier.
Right.
It's a very, very difficult process to get it to the last stage, which is the easiest thing. And I say, I charge the water, and it's like, oh, can we get the machine? Lots of people will say, I want the machine. I'm going, you have no idea what it will take to run the machine if you got the machine. Matter of fact, I had a water scientist come here from Texas. His name's Joseph Bender. And he does water through Victor Schauberger technique. He has Rain Fresh. And he builds plants all over the world. He went home from my place after staying here with us for several days and rebuilt the technology. But he couldn't make it work because he couldn't figure out how to make the liquid. And it's not easy. You really have to go through a training process. And I worked in the whole thing for a year and a half. And it still took me 6 months to refine it enough to be able to do it for myself when I came back.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You also said that the machine was very temperamental and some people would just make it break.
Okay, yes. You can actually, the liquid that's in the machine lives off of, I mean, it's alive. And it does not like heavy, dark, mean energies. So if someone walks into the room that is in anger or hate or is brutal or does any kind of pornography, the machine will simply die. I've seen this machine as it's going, and then all of a sudden someone walks into the room and goes, and it's dead, and it won't run anymore. Then I have to start all over. I have to put new water in it. If they're really, really bad, we have to put new wires in the machine. So now I don't ever allow anybody in the machine in the room because I don't know what they're, you know, if they should kill it or not. I've really had to condition myself to be able to work with the machine. Like I said, in the beginning, it would turn off my bone marrow and I would get leukemia. And it was constant. My daughter is a live cell analyst, a microscopist, and she watched me like a hawk. And she'd say, okay, you've got to drink the wine. And you know that red wine will turn your bone marrow back on. So she'd give me really heavy red wine like Mogan David or something. And she'd say, drink your wine, Mom, drink your wine. I don't like the taste of wine, so it was really an ordeal. But eventually I tuned my body to where it's tuned to the machine so the machine can't hurt me anymore. And that is what's necessary to be able to work with the machine. You have to be there with it. You have to learn to live it, to feel it, to know what the gold liquid feels like when it's alive, when it's unhappy, when it's dying, when it's getting old, when it's tired. And It's a very energetic project and has not been an easy road.
This is really fascinating because effectively only those who are pure of heart would be able to work with this whole realm tonight.
That's right.
In other words,
that's why I have no problem with people stealing it. If someone tries to steal it, I say, I'll tell you how to do it, because if you have the character that you'd steal it, you can't make it work.
Well, you know, that's exactly what I've encountered. I have a lady here that is trying to create a cosmetic company using some of the Armour's products.
Uh-huh.
And man, when the products are in her presence, they don't perform.
You can't do it based on gold or on any kind of greed or with any ulterior motive. You have to work from pure motive.
She drives me crazy sometimes because she's always pushing me. Get me this, get me that, get me this. And I said, hey, wait. Hold on a minute. This stuff does not like to be rushed. So anyway, I go round and round with her, trying to get things sorted out with her, but she cannot get these things to even perform on her body like they do for other people. And she can't figure it out.
And there is one warning that goes with the water. If you buy the water for yourself and you know that you know your own spirit, you'll know if you can drink the water. Just ask yourself, can I drink the water? Because there have been a few people that have come and gotten the water because they want something from it. They want immortality. They want to have this ability. But yet they've got really dense, dark reasons for wanting all of that, and it makes them sick.
And you are so right.
So if the first, I know this one girl up in Canada can only take, like, she takes one teaspoon of the water, and she's in bed for 2 days. Her husband loves the water. He drinks it all the time.
That's the whole story of Joseph and Asenath again.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's like there's a heavenly protection about the procedures and the use thereof
of
these products.
Yes, so I don't think that anyone out there that has really got, who wants to do it because they can make a lot of money and they can change, they can get the world to do what they want it to do. I don't think that they have the ability to make the things that you're talking about, that you make or that I make, or that anyone on this call is acquainted with or is playing around and making. I think that they can actually turn to their detriment if they try to use good things for bad purposes.
Well, you know, speaking of that, I live in the land of plagiarism. I mean, the Chinese are famous for duplicating everything that everybody can make.
Mm-hmm.
And in some regards, I have to be careful not to let out some things because I know that people will go out and try to duplicate it. But in the other sense, I'm not really worried about that because they don't understand what they're dealing with here. And that's the difference between chemistry, and I go round and round with a few people on the list. There's the difference between empirical chemistry and alchemistry.
That's right. There really is.
And the pure chemists will never understand what it takes to create some of the products and or the reactions, the chemical reactions that occur,
mm-hmm.
because it just doesn't perform under the pure rules of chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Intention, thought, attitude, dedication, reasons for doing it, all of these things are very, very important.
Yes, it is.
And the pure chemist will never be able to understand that.
Yep, and I would like to say something about people recreating things but not being able to recreate the energy within them. I took the water on the suggestion of a friend to a well-known pyramid scientist, and he's intuitive, and he looked at the water and he touched it and he was all jazzed and he thought, wow, shocking water. And I said, it's not just shocking water. It's healing water. It's this water. It's do this and this and this. And he couldn't see past the shock. So he went to his lab, and he created a water bath and made a water capacitor. And, of course, when he made the water capacitor, a water capacitor continues to take on more and more and more charge as it sits. It doesn't just stop when you take the battery away from it. So he shocked himself with his little water capacitor and said, oh, I did exactly what you did. I'm as good as you, ha. And he was laughing at me, and he was running around the place. He came back, hit the bottle again, and when the thing knocked him on his butt, he couldn't hardly... Sorry, I shouldn't use that. It just knocked him down. It actually knocked him unconscious after I left because it kept getting harder and harder. Not mine.
Your water?
Not mine, his.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know, this is, you know, Pat, this is not my water. You did not make my water. You did not make it. You may be able to charge a bottle, but it will not give you the health benefits or anything. He never could see anything different. It was just that he had figured out my trick. Well, my bottle never gets harder. It can't hurt you. If you touch an electric light socket and get hurt from electricity and then pick up one of my bottles and stick your finger in it, it will reset your electrical components and it will take away all of the pain and everything else that has happened by your interaction with AC current or even DC current out of a battery. So I know that there are people out there that if they could get the technology and build the machine, that they would use the water capacitor and say that it was like my water, which would completely discredit me. It is important, Siegfrieda, that you keep your secrets, because if someone says, I do the same thing, but they don't have the intent and the honor and the energy that goes into it, and they manage to reproduce the look and the feel and the taste and everything else, then people will look at your stuff and say, oh, you can't do it either, because theirs didn't work. And that's why, and Barry gets on my case, why don't you give this technology away? And Barry gets on my case about it all the time. And I say, because if I give it away, people will recreate it without that cell, without the ability, because it's so hard to do it. And then the results wouldn't be the same, and it would completely discredit my water, so the people that would take my water to get well or to have spiritual experiences won't do it.
Well, yeah, you know, it, instead of doing good, it would do damage. And,
that's right.
And that's not the intent.
And that is the reason I keep my secrets.
And you guys are also talking about another subject, which I just, I encapsulate in this one little sentence. It's got... Personality. I mean, Thomas has got major personality, and it likes some people, and
absolutely.
It doesn't like others.
Absolutely.
And it likes some places, and it won't go to other places.
That's right.
It's picky.
Yeah, and that's exactly why some people, you know, get healing results from products, and others don't.
Yes,
it's what they're personally demanding from it.
Yes.
I mean, that's hard.
When
you know, it's hard for
almost,
some people to understand.
I tell my almost what its qualities are. Because water has memory.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Which brings me up to the to now. Listen, we've been going for a couple of hours, so I'd like to wind it up. And I also want to say that we're going to have another mid-month call in a couple of weeks. And Siegfrieda was our very first mid-month call, and it was just outstanding. By the way, Siegfrieda, that call was bloody amazing. And I thank you for your contribution. And I want to have you back as a guest. You okay with that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you want me to do mid-month again?
Yeah, well...
Or coming up, you mean?
I want you to do the alchemy call in the mid month. We'll do it next year sometime. But
okay.
It was just fabulous.
Can I tell them one more thing since I have a couple minutes left?
Yeah.
Dennis, can I tell them one more thing?
Before you go on. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to have as our mid month guest, Jesse, who you've already heard, who talked about what the site was that he found. And he is a major sleuth who works with Deb of Maine, who's currently in Costa Rica and has been hard to contact. And we're going to do a conference call in 2 weeks where Deb is a highly attuned, sensitive kinesiologist. And Jesse is a remarkable sleuth who puts exactly the right questions to her. And what they've tracked down between them is that all the different foods and drinks and products, what level of ormus they actually have in them by kinesiological testing. And then what kind of personality aspect that ormus has, and what ethereal or etheric energies, personalities, or even elemental natures that ormus and the different kinds of ormus have. And so for those of you that are curious about that kind of aspect of the whole ormus world, you will love this stuff, and that's going to be in our mid-month call in a couple of weeks. So that was my ad for the upcoming call. So Danae, why don't you, is there anything else you want to say?
Yes, I have one more thing I want to tell them before we hang up. You mentioned that water has memory. Water holds memory. But when you put intent into water, the frequency of the water changes immediately as soon as you take it to your own personal energy. It adjusts itself. If you want to drink water that has and holds memory, you use some kind of like ormus or gold or silver or colloidal silver or my gold or whatever in a good distilled water, and then you put a frequency generator like a resonator to it, and it will actually, the gold will actually hold the frequency in the water, so that when you drink that water, you actually do get the frequency that you want in it.
Can you please translate the frequency generator that you were talking about?
It's called a function generator, and it was an original Rice-type machine that generates different frequencies, and you can adjust the frequency. 528 is the frequency of life force, and it's the frequency of that they have to put across petri dishes to keep cells alive. So it regenerates DNA and it keeps the life in your body. If you
what
put
is
your,
that machine, Danae?
It's a simple function generator, frequency generator. You can buy them on the internet for $220. And you just hit your bottle of water with the frequency from that thing, and I make a coil and sit the bottle inside of the coil. So I don't know. I shouldn't have gotten off on a tangent. Sorry. Anyway,
no,
I was.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Can I ask you something about that?
Sure.
I took that number 528 and I wrote it on my bottle, as Emoto does with his work.
Yes.
Would that be good as well if you don't have a generator right now?
You know, you can try anything. If it works for you, wonderful. I'm not sure if it's just a belief system or what. I really am a hard scientist, and although I talk magical, I like to see a real serious scientific application, and I would use a function generator personally. But you can do it,
function
and if it works,
generator.
Great. What?
Function generator.
And if you believe it'll make a difference, it will.
Yeah. The cheapest brand out there and the best one that I use is called an Instek, I-N-S-T-E-K.
I-N-S-T-E-K. Okay.
And you just run it to a coil of wire that you just wrap around your bottle, and then you turn it to that frequency and hit it, and it will. But the water really needs to have something in it that holds frequency, and gold does, silver does. I don't know who else has water-soluble ormus, but whatever you believe will hold frequency. Dennis, thank you very much for having me as your guest tonight. Everyone, it's been delightful to talk to you. I appreciate the opportunity, and I look forward to hearing from you sometime.
Thanks very much.
Before you go, Danae, give your phone number again in case anyone hasn't written it down. So they
719 783-0310.
And why don't you give your email address as well so people can email you?
My email is Danae, D-A-N-A-E, 713@yahoo.com.
Danae,
what is the good time to call you?
I'm sorry, I heard two questions. Repeat that. Repeat that is, my email is D-A-N-A-E, 713@yahoo.com. And I just prefer not to get up before 7, and I like to go to bed by 11. So call anytime.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And you are what, Mountain Time?
Mountain Time, yes.
Okay.
It's 'cause
I'm
6 o'clock,
I'm
right?
About 16 hours ahead of you. I'm already in Tomorrowland.
Yes,
9
Tomorrowland.
O'clock, 9 o'clock Sunday morning here.
Well, see, further, maybe